Well, we, as many of you know, we had our tribe camp this week, which, how many of you are a part of tribe camp? Raise your hand if you got to be a part of camp this year. Student and leaders. It's amazing. Yeah, we had, it was an amazing week, and we're gonna spend today sharing testimonies, sharing stories, and just even bringing you guys into some of the stuff that Pastor Rory brought to the youth this week, because honestly, the youth were touched in a powerful way, but all of us leaders left being like, oh my word, we are processing, we're thinking about so many things. So it was just a powerful week all around. We had 75 students, which is actually the most that Valley Church has ever had at a youth camp.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
In past years, sometimes we'll combine with people, but this year we just did it just our own students. And it was the most we've ever had, which is huge. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. And the last couple of days, we both have kind of woken up with that slight daze. And so that's how you know it was like, it was an amazing week. Our energy was pushed to the max. We stayed up late. We had lots of fun. And so we had so many testimonies during the week, but even over the last couple of days, we've had more and more stories that have just been coming out of students opening up about things, you know, forgiveness happening. And that was one thing, kind of a theme that we noticed. And even when we took over the youth, honestly, one of the biggest things that I thought about was, Lord, we're not flashy people. We're not, you know, bright lights, loud prayers. We just want to serve you. We want to see your kingdom come and whatever that looks like. And honestly, this week, there wasn't any like midnight services. There wasn't any like loud music, flashy moments, but there were so many moments where you could just see students' hearts being changed, students opening up about things. And honestly, it was so humbling to watch, just as the students, they would stand up for things right away. There was no hesitancy. There was so much vulnerability. There was so much power in the room. And we believe that this camp is not just going to be a flash in the pan, but it's actually going to be a foundation for so much God is doing and God's going to continue to do.
And with that, I'll just say that as we were sitting there and you're just watching, we've talked about this as a leadership team. A lot of times when you go to camp, you know, as leaders, you go prepared. Like, I am ready. I'm going to minister like crazy. We just sat there and watched our students be so brave and do all the work of this is what it looks like to bring everything to the light, to walk in the freedom Jesus has. And we just sat there so humbled, so encouraged. And what I can say is after this week, I am so beyond excited and confident of the Lord's hand on this generation, on what he has for his people, that, you know, those fears and these lies that we buy into by what we feed ourselves with, what we're listening to, all these things, it is such a distraction from the truth of who Jesus is. And sometimes we really limit the Lord when he's saying, no, I am Lord. And when you do things my way, you get to walk in blessings and freedom. And that's what we felt him calling all of us into, that there doesn't need to be this fear. And sometimes we speak word curses over the upcoming generation of, oh, you guys just have to go through so many hard things now. And we kind of, honestly, we speak death over them. When really it's like, actually, the Lord is the Lord and he knows his kids. And we saw it time and time again. I am excited about the days to come. I am so excited about what God has for his children. It is a very exciting thing. And you're going to be very blessed as you hear some of these testimonies of these students want the real deal. They don't want the flashy hype moment. They want Jesus, and they want to walk in what he has paid for.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, us as leaders, us as parents, us as whatever position you're in, that's a challenge I have for you. Let's not speak death over this generation. Let's not say, oh, there's no hope. Oh, they're so lost. Because honestly, what we saw this week, we saw so much hope. We saw so much excitement. We saw so many kids hungry and students who want change in their lives. So let's all be a part of that. Let's not let's not speak things over them, because we want to speak life. We want to bring the youth into the next generation, because they are the future, and there's a lot of power over this next generation. So we're going to share a lot today, but one thing we wanted to start out doing was, for a youth camp to happen, there is hundreds, if not thousands, of hours that go into planning, prepping, leading up to the camp, and then actual execution of the camp. So,
Minimal sleep.
Yes, very minimal sleep and lots of work put in. So we want to start out by thanking some people, because there was a lot of amazing leaders at our camp, a lot of people who took time away from their jobs, a lot of people who were willing to stay up late with these kids when they could have been home in bed at 8 o'clock, and instead they were up till 1 in the morning, 2
students.
In the morning. Yes. And so, first, I want to say thank you to our amazing security.
Come on.
Back there, Mr. Stewart.
Stewart! Please wave, Stewart.
Funny thing this year, Stewart, so we had, the kids were supposed to be in their rooms at about, the students, sorry. Yes, students. We're supposed to be in the room about 10 o'clock, and Stewart was in his chair right outside the men's dorm, and I walked up to him, and I saw he had these binoculars, and they were actually like infrared binoculars, so he was looking around, and he could see as the students were climbing out of their windows and running into the lake.
He was prepared.
There are all these different things, so he was prepared, and it was such a fun experience to have Stewart there. And Stewart, so we just thank you so much for your time and your commitment. Another big part of camp is the food. We've all been to...
Let's just make this clear of what this looks like for their job. They wake up before everyone else. They feed 100 people breakfast. They clean it up. They wait a tiny bit. They feed 100 people lunch. They clean it up. They wait a little bit. They feed 100 people dinner. They clean it up. They wait a little bit. They open up the snack shack for 100 people. They go to bed for a small amount of time. They wake up and they do the whole thing again. So our cooking team, they have the hardest job of camp. It's a guarantee. And we want to thank them.
And actually, so we have a snack shack in the evenings where we sell candy bars and different treats. And
Tater tots,
amazing tater tots. And Patty was telling us, she's like, man, our sales were down this year. And what we said was, well, it's because all the food that you serve is so amazing. The cookies, the churros, the enchiladas, the spaghetti.
They lack nothing.
They lack nothing. So they felt no need to buy any extra candy bars or anything. But if you were a part of the cooking team, Patty in the back, could you please stand?
Can we stand?
I want to give a round of applause for them.
Everyone else. Thank you all. I'm going to have a hard adjustment going back to making food at home. It's a humbling adjustment. Another person we want to thank, she played a double role, is Miss Tabitha. She is our nurse at camp. Please stand, Miss Tabitha, the beautiful Miss Tabitha. She was our camp nurse. Which is amazing. You think, oh, camp nurse, but that means making sure our children have their medication exact when they're supposed to. That means that every little ouchie, boo-boo, every heat exhaustion, every dehydration, especially when it's the hottest week of the summer, she gets to take care of, and also she's a counselor. She's the best. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, and two, we had about 15, I believe, counselors who came up with us this year. And if you're a counselor, could you please stand?
Woo!
So, one thing that makes camp so much...
Jared's one of those. He's standing, but
yes,
he has remained standing.
Yes.
He's going to come up here in a moment.
One thing that makes camp so much easier is when you have a team of leaders that you can trust and you can trust them to pray over students, trust them to lead cabins, trust them to do their jobs. And I just got to say, this year, it felt just so easy with all these leaders. If you told them to do something, they would do it and go above and beyond what you asked. They were leading students into forgiveness. They were leading students in prayer, and they were so present the entire time. And so to all the counselors, we just want to say thank you, because you made this camp what it was, and without you, it wouldn't have been possible. Yeah. And I know for many of you, you took time away from your jobs as well to serve and took vacation time to do so. And it honestly, we are so blessed and thankful, and these students, so many of them were touched because of you guys. Yeah. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
One of those who played double duty as well is the beautiful Miss Laura. Will you please stand? She loves this. This is her favorite thing in the whole wide world. Please remain standing for a moment. So Miss Laura, she makes our lives a million times easier because she's come up as a camp director. And I tell you what, she makes everyone's life a breeze. And she blessed us beyond measure. She not only operates majorly in the gift of administration, but while she's running around directing people, she's ministering the whole time. She's having prophetic dreams at night, having all sorts of different things. The blessing that you are, Laura, we can't thank you enough. We love you and honor you so much. Yes. All right. Another humongous thank you would be our Wednesday morning prayer group. Can the different people in our Wednesday morning prayer group, can you raise your hand or stand, whatever you'd prefer? If you could just raise your hand up high. Okay, amazing. Thank you. What they do every year, and a lot of people don't know this, every single week, they take up an offering for our youth camp and our kids camp. And I can't tell you the blessing that is. They raise thousands of dollars within this group out of just obedience in their heart. They said they wanted to do this. They just do it. No one has asked them to. They raise thousands of dollars, which makes a way for our students to be able to go. We can't thank you enough. Thank you that they, for a whole year, pray and intercede for our students. They call them out by name. It is the greatest blessing. So we just really want to thank and honor everyone who is a part of that. We have reaped incredible fruit from it, and we can't thank you enough for all that you do.
And last, but obviously not least, all the students that came to camp. So I got to say, I know there was multiple students who came to camp this year and didn't know anyone. Mm-hmm. And if any of you have ever been in that position, most people choose to not even come. Yeah. And so we had students who came, didn't know anybody, making lifelong friends. We had students from all different areas of the Treasure Valley, different schools, different places. And they showed up and they pressed into what God was doing. They didn't show up and just sit there in the back. They participated, they had so much fun, and they were also extremely responsible and honoring. I gotta say, we didn't really have any major problems this year.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, yes. It was just a huge blessing to have all the students who were there, that big of a group, and just they were just such an amazing, fun crew. Yeah. We were so blessed that way. And now we wanna talk, so we mentioned the services this year, how powerful they were, and just the ways that God moved. And so many of you trusted us with your students this week, which was a huge honor. But we just believe that the conversations that were started at camp this year are going to continue. And we want to invite you guys into those conversations. So we want to share, we had 5 sessions this year at camp. And with each one, God moved in a different way and in a powerful way. And honestly, it felt like if we would have ended after night one, I mean, it would have been a successful
camp. Glory. We could have gone home and been like, well, that was the best camp ever. Mm-hmm. But it just got better and better.
Yeah. And we were super blessed to have Rory Heller this year as our guest speaker. He wasn't able to join us today. He ended up having to go back to his family. But what I can say about Rory is, he is somebody who walks in truth. He walks in the light. And anytime he speaks, people listen. And we had students, like we said, there was no flashiness. He even would say things like, well, you know, we don't need the right music for God to move, right? Jesus was born in a stable. Jesus was not flashy. And so we had so many moments where it was just these quiet moments, and students were pressing in ways where you're like, how is this even happening? And so, you want to share that?
Yes. So just an example of that. When you're going to a camp, or you're going to any kind of event, any service, it's really normal. We wait, we do a call, we wait until the end. Me and Jared kind of strategize together. Yeah, go now. So Rory is literally there. And the reason we're spending so much time this Sunday about celebrating what the Lord did is because as a family, we want to celebrate what the Lord is doing. And we have a church that really values our youth. So that's why you're getting to hear all this. But literally, Rory goes, yeah, I don't need keys. Just play some background music. And Jared looks like, okay, which was the best. And he said that exact thing of, guys, sometimes we think that we need this perfect created spiritual moment for the Lord to move. And it was this challenge of Jesus came in a manger. He came lowly. So I think that we can get real and we can get low and humble before the Lord. And the message that he brought was about confession and bringing things to the light, what it means to actually live in the light. And so he went off of 1 John 1. We can start with verse 5. Oh, we don't need this music if it's playing, but that's okay. That's all right. We just talked about music and now it's playing, which is hilarious, but it's cool. Whatever. We can have it too. It's great. So 1 John 1, verse 5 says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Yowzes. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Pretty straightforward word, right? Pretty straightforward. So with that, what this looked like, Jared, you can totally mute this. I didn't communicate well. If you want to pause that, that's great. Thank you for being a saint. So what the message was what does it look like to live in the light? And what the Lord had talked to Rory about was, how do you live a life free of condemnation? And he began to move on his heart and tell him, bring to the light everything that you've done before Jesus and after Jesus. So he went to one of his pastors and shared, here it is, everything. Then he went to his wife, Mari, shared, here it is, brought everything to the light, and then ended up going to one of his leaders under him, shared the same thing. And he said the freedom that came after that, he said, I could walk into a room and not have a condemning thought anymore, because everything was brought to the light. Everything. And the freedom that comes from that, because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, from all unrighteousness. And so what we did with the students is he said, okay, now knowing this, as the Holy Spirit begins to convict right now, we're just going to wait on the Holy Spirit. He's the one who brings conviction. If there is something that the Holy Spirit is stirring on your heart to confess right now, we're going to take a moment. Our leaders are going to spread around the room and ask the Holy Spirit what leader you're supposed to go to confess. He said, don't go to the one that you know you're safe with. Ask the Holy Spirit, who is it you need to go to? And we watched a room of 75 teenagers stand up boldly, go to a leader,
and go, here it is. And they laid it all out. And it was the most humbling, beautiful thing I've ever seen. I personally, and we talk about, we'll share this in a little bit, but earlier in the day, we had our tribal wars, and we were playing a game, and it was in the middle of the games. All of a sudden, I felt so anxious. I was like, what in the world? That I had to speak out loud. I was like, people are going to get set free of anxiety tonight. And the second I spoke that, I felt the peace of the Lord come. I had at least two different girls. One of them had a panic attack right before service. Another one had struggled deeply with anxiety. And in the moment of them coming up and confessing, you saw them being delivered. Literally through confession. As they just confessed, they brought things to the light. They shared what had been going on for so long. Some of them, you're like, I would have had no idea. But they brought it to the light, and we saw the reality of Jesus cleansing us from all sin. I saw a girl who literally was riddled with anxiety, and her whole complexion changed just through confession. We watched as throughout camp, and then with that too, it was this moment of, hey, thank you for sharing. I'm here for you. You want to walk through this? Let's walk through it together. Whatever you want to talk to, let me, we'll walk through it. And we got to see firsthand, oh, this is what discipleship is. This is what it looks like to make disciples, to live vulnerably and authentically in front of each other.
Yeah, and God was just so kind to us. He, just in talking to each of the leaders individually afterwards, what the feedback that we got was, man, every student that walked up to me, the things that they shared were most of the time things that I had also walked through. So it was like God had set up these appointments. And even, you know, Christy mentioned the anxiety that she felt. I actually, we got up there on a Monday night and camp started on Tuesday. And when I slept Monday night, I don't dream very often, but I actually had a dream that and it kind of shook me. I had a dream that I caught like half the boys at the camp actually with alcohol. And I was processing it the next day, and I was like, man, Lord, what does that mean? I don't want that to happen at this camp. But I actually had multiple students who came up to me during the service and opened up about alcohol and drugs. We had some of them even hand over things during that service. And so it was just, it was so amazing just to see like, wow, Lord, you set this up. And you the leaders that you brought to the students' minds were the right people for that right moment. So that was amazing. And we have, even over the last couple of days, we've continued to hear more stories from students and leaders. And
talk about convicting. Mm-hmm. When you're leading a group and you see all these teenagers being like, I will bring everything to the light. Talk about fear of the Lord. You're like, whoa, we are over these students. Just the different things that we've learned, like any tormenting thought, anything that has been there. I mean, even this morning or last night, I don't know. It was just a little thing, you know, that had like a thought that randomly would come. And I was like, I don't have to hide that. I don't have to have fear about that. So I went right to my husband. I was like, hey, I've had this thought. And that's what we learned so much of. Hey, this is how we're called to live. This is what it looks like to live in the light. And this is how we actually walk in freedom. And so that is our challenge and what we believe the Lord is doing for his children, for all of us collectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was the first session. In the second session, we had, so in the morning sessions, Roy would often do more kind of teaching and practical things. On the second morning, or the first morning, he talked about hearing God's voice, which for a lot of people, that's a struggle because sometimes you might hear somebody who hears God so well and all these different things, and it can create sometimes this insecurity of like, well, am I hearing God's voice? Is that my conscience? And Rory does walk through all these different ways that people hear God's voice. And it was really eye-opening because for a lot of people, they don't realize, like, if you're out in the lake having fun, like, you're experiencing God through joy, right? If you're laughing, you're experiencing God through joy. You're experiencing life through this camp. And so he just walked through all these different ways that we get to hear God's voice, and it looks different for all of us. And each way has its own significance. And he even touched on, you know, oftentimes in services, you have people who are having these encounters, and it's flashy and it's exciting, and you might be sitting there thinking, oh man, I don't feel any... Oh.
Peace over whatever that situation is, in Jesus' name. Yeah. Freedom and peace in Jesus' name. Bless them all.
But yeah, he just spoke really into that and broke off a lot of lies with hearing God's voice, which was just so powerful.
Hilarious. Wow. That is so great. Oh, wow. Look at all these distractions that try to come at the same time. We just bless people in hearing God's voice.
Yes.
We bless you in being able to hear his voice. Thank you that he loves to talk to his children. And something, just like my husband was sharing, is sometimes, and this is really good in a church like this, where we are charismatic and we love the encounters with the Lord. We do. Praise God. Sometimes we forget that experiencing joy isn't just an encounter. It's him. That he is joy itself. And that's what we were talking about, is learning every single thing is getting to encounter him and know him.
And in the second evening, Rory really pressed into closing doors. So each night kind of built off of each other. So the first night was confession. The second night was closing those doors. So what that got to look like is Rory really walked all of us through the fact that we own our house. We have the keys to our house, right? So we are the ones who...
You should say that again.
We own our houses, and so we are the ones who have the keys to our houses, right? So we get to decide who comes in and who comes out, right? And so if we leave our door cracked open, you know, one day might pass and nobody creeps in. But if you leave your door open for 1 week, somebody might come in and sneak into your house, right? So it's not necessarily this singular moment, but it's about closing doors so that whatever the enemy's trying to do, that whenever he walks by, he clearly sees that you got a big bolt on your door and he's not getting in.
Come
right?
on.
And so we really got to walk through with the students, just closing those doors after they confess, okay, what does this look like to close the door so that we don't have to deal with this anymore? Because you individually have control over who comes in and who comes out.
Woohoo! That's good news.
Yeah.
So with that, what did that look like? Imagine this. Praise God. And this is why we're so encouraged about what the Lord is doing. Is, all right, now we've talked about, we've confessed, we brought it all to the light, didn't we, students? Yeah, we did. We brought it to the light. So now we're like, woo, I'm feeling free. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I will gladly close these doors. So we had them stand up. First of all, he said, there's three different doors that we really need to close that we're going to go after tonight. There's more, but tonight this is what we're going to go after. The first one was unforgiveness. And so we had, like I said, 75 teenagers walking through unforgiveness. And it was the most beautiful thing where we just sit back there as people get healed of so many things. We went after unforgiveness, then we went after sexual sin. And I just want to tell you the boldness of our students. When you're in a room, 75 peers, and even with your eyes closed, we all know in church someone peeks. Like we do. Like we just know that. It's the truth. And so imagine, you're there with all your friends, and it's like, all right, if you've struggled with sexual sin, stand up. And they, without hesitation, would boldly stand because they want freedom that bad. Where it's like, praise the Lord. The next one, it's like, hey, okay. There's a reality that God wired us to be curious. That's how he made us, that we are curious people. And he designed us that way in a beautiful way. Curiosity to seek him out, to discover, to learn. That's how God made us. And sometimes our curiosity, the enemy used it, and you may not have even realized that. It may have been a quick moment. And so what the Lord has designed as a wonderful thing may have been used in a wrong way. And so after that, we went after witchcraft and drugs. So it's like, if you have participated in witchcraft or drugs, will you stand up? And when you see students boldly stand up, that does something. that will do something in you. And it was the most beautiful thing to watch the freedom that the Lord was pouring out on this generation. And there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And they gladly closed those doors.
Yeah, and in our fourth session, we actually got to talk about dating.
Come on, woo-hoo. Somebody.
So I gotta say, we were sitting in the back, and of all the sessions, that was the most interesting one to watch from behind, because you could see certain students, some of them had this, like, scared look in this face. Other ones were, like, kind of, you know, laughing to themselves uncomfortably when certain things were said.
But nervous, like, movement.
But it was, honestly, it was one of the best messages I've ever heard about dating. Because honestly, for many of us, especially in the church world, dating, there can be a lot of different misconceptions. There can be oftentimes a lot of unnecessary pressures. I remember even when Christy and I went on our first date, my only worry was I didn't want it to immediately jump to, like, okay, we're going to be married.
We
must get married. And so I remember sitting there, and we both agreed upon it. I was like, we are just on a date. Like, I just want to get to know you and all this stuff.
Because we've both grown up in the church, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's because there's oftentimes that pressure of, like, okay, if you go on a date, that means you're going to get married. And it's like, okay.
Ring before spring, baby. Come on.
Yeah. Yes.
So here are the questions with that.
I don't even know. Moving on. These questions, we'll have Christy go through them. If you have somewhere where you can write these down, honestly, these are questions that he served up to the students and to anyone else that really you should walk through if you're dating somebody, if you're considering dating somebody, because it really prepares your heart for that season and lets you know, maybe I am ready, maybe I'm not ready, maybe I'm not with the right person. So these were honestly some of the best questions I've ever heard. So if you have a chance to write these down, please do.
And we share this because we're a family and your students were just at a camp. And so we want you to know, hey, this is what was taught. This is what we're encouraging. Here are your children. We encourage you. We told them, and this is what we want for them to apply. So question number one, am I walking in freedom? We had all these sessions all about being free. So am I actually walking in freedom? Do I have peace within my heart? Am I struggling with pornography? Probably not a good time to be in a relationship. Am I struggling with, you know, all these different things? No, you're probably not fully walking in freedom yet. So I would say that's not a good time to be in a relationship. That was the first question of, hey, am I free? Because when we know the freedom we have in Jesus, we don't want to give that up for anything. Right? But if we don't know true freedom in the Lord, we will settle very quickly and we can become convinced that, oh, no, this is good. This is okay. So it's no, are you free? Are you free? Because if you are free, you know how to wholeheartedly walk into a relationship and keep the priorities the priority. So one, am I walking in freedom?
The second question, are there leaders and peers who know everything about me? So, we mentioned earlier, Rory talked about how he put everything on the table with several people he knew, his wife, so that she knew everything that was going on. This is an important one because if you don't have people who actually know you, know what's going on, and you're in a relationship, you might confront situations and you have no one to walk it through with you. You have no one to say, hey, something seems off here, let's talk this through. So this is where it's important for, if you're in a relationship, you're considering a relationship, have people who know what's going on in your life, know your past, know your present, know your goals, where you want to go, because that allows you to actually have a community of people walking it out with you.
Parents, you're going to love this one. Do I have leaders and or parents in my life who are blessing and covering this relationship? Wow, there wasn't much of a response. I thought people would be really excited about that. So a great question. Do I have leaders and or parents in my life who are blessing and covering this relationship?
Do I have a strong community of friends who are with me in this relationship? So oftentimes what you might see is people start dating and then all of a sudden they push away all their friends and they're just together all the time, right? And what that can create is oftentimes a tie together that if they are to break up, then they have no one surrounding them, right? They lost all their friends. They don't have people walking with them. So this is super important that whether you're dating, whether you're thinking about dating, to have friends around you and community to walk out this relationship together.
And then, do I know my boundaries and theirs to protect our trust and build a strong foundation? So, oh, bless that baby. Bless you, angel boy. So with that, these are the this is what we put out for dating. And so we're excited about what that gets to look like with our students now. So parents, now you know. This is what was laid out for them. This is what you get to challenge and encourage them with. And in our last session, we talked about the Holy Spirit. Come on now. Being filled. It was the most beautiful night. And every night was so beautiful. It was never just some huge hype moment. It was the Holy Spirit gently touching every single person. And we were blown away by it. So with that, we've got, are you ready for some of our testimonies we have lined up? We wanted to lay this out for you. Because our testimonies, when you know what's being taught, like, hey, here's the truth. This is the word that was released. And then you can see how the Lord was stirring and moving on hearts. So we're going to have some different testimonies now. But do you want to share these first, baby?
Before we get to the testimonies, just a few highlights. So as many of you know, we have 4 tribes every year. And they compete in games, different activities. And this year, the winner of our tribal wars was the Red Tribe.
Come on now. Red Tribe won.
All right, there we go.
Plus, the reason we don't have as loud of a cheering is because Leah's in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Leah left to go to Hawaii, or else you would gladly know that the Red Tribe won.
We also did something new this year, was a cardboard boat race, which was pretty hilarious and pretty awesome. We had students who were sketching out designs, putting in all these hours into creating these boats. And it was kind of funny because when we set up the race, we started on the shore and we put the finish line like halfway to the dock. And I was kind of thinking, I'm like, oh man, is that going to be a long enough race? It was plenty long.
It was. Linda, is there that picture of any of the boat races? Then you could get an idea of, okay, there's that. Was there any other one? I know I was very late to sending you things. So literally they had to make a boat with cardboard and duct tape. They're brilliant. They're incredible engineers. They did amazing. Mm-hmm.
We had 2 out of the 4 boats finish the race, I believe. So that was...
They were troopers until the end, though. Eli, you were the champ of all champs. He just took it for his team. Sadly, their team's boat sank fast. But he was a trooper that was like, I will get us to the finish line either way. You were amazing,
Perseverance.
Eli.
We also got to go tubing on a boat. So Ben and Kelsey Nelson,
they
brought their boat this year. And that was a huge blessing because there's a lot of students who had never even been on a boat before. So it was an amazing experience. But now we're going to jump into testimonies. So if I could have...
Yeah, the ones that we talked to.
If I could have the leaders and the students that we had talked to about sharing testimonies, if you could come to the stage.
Woohoo! Ooh. Yes, if we contacted you before, if you could come on up. You guys are amazing. You're the best. Yeah, you can just spread right here. Look at how brave and bold they are. Yeah, just keep coming. Just spread right there. Amazing. Oh, bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You can silence those once. I had to clear mine out. If someone doesn't know how those work, you can just clear it out after. Then it won't keep doing that. All right, so with that, Jackson, bless you with your sunburn. Oh, praise Jesus. You are such a champ, sir.
Yeah. Before this guy starts, I wanted to say about Jackson. So Jackson, you're 18, right?
Yes, sir.
18, and he is somebody, every time we show up to tribe at 6 o'clock, he is there, he's ready, he's helping us, he's serving in so many ways, and so he's just such a blessing to tribe, and it's been a joy and an honor to have you. So I'm going to have you share, all right?
Oh, shoot. Okay, we're on.
Thank you. I'll hold the top. I'll hold the top.
All right.
Thank you. I just want to honor Pastor Ryan and Pastor Christy for even letting me do this. It was the first night that we were talking about confessions, and I think I really hope this reaches the right people. And I used to struggle with night terrors, and there was one time where I had sleep paralysis, and that started to set off more and more nightmares and night terrors, and it just was, it destroyed me. And I really felt like I knew it was demonic, but it wouldn't leave me. And I didn't tell anyone about it, but when I started like doing the whole confession thing, Jason, I love you, man. You're amazing. He was the leader that was open, and all he did was listen as I just kept talking and talking and talking and talking until I was done. And then he started praying over me, and I just thought the entire room was just me and Jason, and then it just turned to me and Jesus. And I was like, what is going on? It was just this super good encounter that I had, and I started bawling, and I'm not a crier, I'll say that much, but all I know is that God is good, and I am living proof of that.
Not sleeping better, right? And Jackson, you said you've been sleeping better, right, since that happened?
Yes, I have actually. Yeah, sleeping better, so much better. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Aside from my third degree sunburn.
Yeah. Aside from the sunburn. All right, Mr. Ben.
All right.
This guy was a huge joy to have up at camp as well. He was so much fun, and he just brought so much just realness to the students and to the camp. So, Ben, it was an honor to have you, and
it was an honor. Now, so going up to camp, you know, run a business, and the stress of leaving, I was like, this is the wrong time, this is the wrong time, this is the wrong time. And like always, God meets you at the right time. So leaving camp, I pulled over and I was like, okay, Jackson, you're not a crier, but I'm a crier. So anyways, I was like, Kelsey, do you realize we won the lottery? Like, we won the lottery getting to go to this camp. I'm 43 years old. I don't get to go to youth camps anymore. And it was awesome. I mean, God, you know, I know I live in a place of a lot of anxiety. I think a lot of us do. I don't want to own that, but sometimes you do. There's stress in life. And this week, Kelsey was like, Dad, you are mellow. And so just being in that, watching the leaders, Christy and Ryan, their hearts, I sat back there and was like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. These guys love these kids. It's not made up. It's real. So that was cool. Probably the best part, I know this isn't really a testimony. Is that okay? It's just being a boy again and being adventurous. And I believe that's one thing that, like, these kids is God's always about an adventure. And seeing our boys in our group and having leaders that allowed us to do this, playing with Stuart. I mean, he had these infrared goggles. We all got together in the tribe. We all in our room, in our dorm, and hoo-ah, we're going out the window tonight. So, Isaiah, can you stand up? Isaiah, stand up real quick. Woo, 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 woo. This guy snuck out of a 2x3 window. So it was awesome. It's Stuart chasing us. This guy, just seeing what God was doing on this guy's heart. And then God softening my heart towards these kids, highlighting them. And then the last night, the Holy Spirit, I guess before that, these kids coming up when it was the night where they shared stuff to you, to walk in the light, I'm like, that's convicting to me, like Holy Spirit. I'm like, shoot, I've never told no one that, you know? Like, this is crazy. These guys were wanting to know God so much they would tell anybody, you know, not that, I'm saying myself, not them, myself, I would struggle to tell someone that. That's how real it was. And just seeing that, and then the Holy Spirit night, just the Holy Spirit coming on these guys, and just a brotherhood, and just a tightness. So it was amazing. That was my testimony. So
This is Riley. Beautiful Riley. We love her so much. You ain't got your notes, baby.
Yeah, I just don't want to forget anything. Okay. At camp, the Holy Spirit put in me such a burning to come out of the darkness and be all in for Him.
Come on.
When, I think it was the first night that Rory talked about forgiveness and all the other things, but I was not even convicted of something until he started preaching. Like, the Holy Spirit, like, met me, and I was, like, feeling so convicted and ready to just be all in for Jesus. And, yeah. When they had you, like, stand up and go to a leader, like, not necessarily the one you felt the most comfortable with, but the one that, like the Holy Spirit was telling you to go to, I almost saw myself, it was almost kind of like a vision, I saw myself confessing to somebody almost before it happened, and, like, in my heart, I had God had already forgiven me, and it felt like it was almost already done. Just the act of it, like, sealed the deal so it would never, like, come into my life ever again.
Come on.
So, yeah.
Come on. Yes, Jesus. That's so beautiful, Riley. This is Diana. It was so wonderful. This is her first camp that she came to with us. And so she's so brave and bold, and she's going to share her testimony, too.
So for camp, it really showed me how to forgive my mom and my dad. I grew up in a broken family where I was always told I was not good enough and that it was just really broken. I lived in, like, a lot of yelling and fighting, slamming doors, and it took a toll on my life, where I went through, like, depression, suicide, drugs. But the day before camp, it was, like, not the day before, but the week, it was July 4. We all got into, like, this big argument, and it, like, hurt me really bad because I got called these things, and that day was supposed to be a peaceful day for me because it was my sister's birthday and she had passed, so I wanted that to be a peaceful day, but there's a lot of tension. And I had a lot of hate for my mom before I went to camp. I was like, I don't know how to forgive her for everything. But at camp, they told us to, like, forgive the person who hurt you without expecting change out of them, because at the end of the day, if you forgive them, that will, like, let you go in a way. The last night, Pastor Rory was praying over me, and he was like, I can feel that your family's all against each other, and I feel like when you go back home, your mom and you will talk and have peace in your life. So when I came home that day, I found out my dad had received a little bit of freedom. The same night, Pastor Rory was praying over my family. And my mom, it's actually my mom's first time going to church, and she's in Texas right now, so I can see that my family is getting freedom, so thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Come on. Come on. With that, it was so beautiful. We literally had a moment where, like, hey, we're going to pray for families. Like, if there are people who have struggled in their families, we're going to pray the Lord encounters them right now. While we were praying for families to be encountered, that's when her dad was experiencing freedom right then and there. So it was, thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in our families.
I think we can agree that God, like in Scripture, God uses kind of the unexpected to show us what the kingdom of heaven is like. Like in Scripture, He uses children. And for me, He used the youth to show us what the kingdom of heaven was like at youth camp. Pastor Christy and Pastor Ryan kind of touched on that, communicated that really well, the confession night. But I'm just thinking, like, he didn't use the Pharisees to show us what the kingdom of heaven was like. If Pastor Lynn, you gave a message, I was just challenged myself. Like, this is not how Rory said it, but come forward to share your deepest, darkest sin. You know, how many people would you have come up? Like, I don't know if I would be challenged. Like Pastor Christy was saying, they came up in droves. And the one example I wanted to share that would challenge, I think, everybody here and encourage you about this generation that is having darkness just shoved at them. God is using that darkness. If when they lean into him, God is using that to form them into the strongest generation who's going to understand how to fight for their purity and fight for the kingdom of God to advance it. You guys are a strong generation. That's what he's raising. But anyways, the scripture about working out your salvation in fear and trembling and what that actually looks like. Perfect example of what I had was during that confession time. They're coming up in droves, picking the person they probably don't want to tell. And this young youth came to me literally in fear and trembling, but not wanting to sit in darkness. The person could not even speak the words of what was going on. And so she wrote them so that I could read it. I mean, that is working out your salvation with fear and trembling, and that should challenge all of us to not just sit complacent or hide. These are the youth who are doing this, trying to get free, and God met them. He resists the proud, and he is close to the humble. He gives grace to the humble, and that is going to be why you are going to be the greatest generation. I declare that over you guys, and I believe it.
And with that, I can't tell you what a gift it was to have, we said this earlier, but to have these leaders that could be a safe place, it was the greatest blessing ever. And we're so excited about what gets to happen next, about what it looks like as we walk together in family and community. And now Jared.
Yeah, there's so much to say about this camp. I would say two things in particular. We didn't necessarily have a theme, but there was two words that I think kind of covers all of this, which is freedom and authenticity. And to see people bear their souls to the Lord, to come into the light and say, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I need freedom for. And to have Pastor Rory just present the gospel message in such a pure and attractive way that this is the freedom, this is the joy that is set before us. It did something to all of us, students and leaders alike. And I just want to say, parents, ask your children what was the most important thing that they got. And they'd probably tell you it was freedom. It was freedom. And being able to have confidence that when you go before the Lord, that you're not walking into judgment, but rather into liberation. It is such a beautiful thing. And I would just encourage all of us to, it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your walk with the Lord, how many years that has been, how real it feels to you, but just realizing there's more. There's more to the journey. And I feel like we really jumped into that more over the last few days, just really getting to experience the heart of the Lord, his will for us to be free, to be joyful, to walk in the light. And it's hard to pull from any single testimony, but I would just go back to what has already been shared, that first night, it really felt like we went from glory to glory over the course of the few days that we were there. But the first night, just getting free and saying, this is what I'm dealing with. I want to walk in the light. I want everything in my heart to be exposed for the sake of healing, for the sake of health, for the sake of I don't want to struggle with this anymore. That set such a tone for everything else that happened throughout the week. We saw, it just like what's been shared before, it wasn't flashy. It wasn't hyped up. It wasn't through emotion or social pressure, but people at camp simply stood up and said, yeah, this is me. I want to walk in the light again. I want to get rid of everything that is holding me back. And that's where the authenticity came in. People, we are, as creatures, we tend to get so caught up in ourselves, either through pride or through fear, excuse me. And both of those were broken at camp. We saw people genuinely hungry for freedom, walk into the light and experience the goodness of God. So, yeah, we are so blessed. Can't wait to share more, but it has been such an amazing camp.
Yes. Amen. Thank you all for sharing. You guys, if you want to stay here for just a minute, but Riley, do you want to come up here for a second? So just in light of everything that happened with our country, I know that last night we just started, when we watched the video, I instantly started crying, but I was like, we just saw what God did in a week. Like what he did in a week, do it in our nation. Like what happened in every student's life, do it in our nation. That was the instant response of, oh, this is God's heart. This is what he wants. He wants true freedom. People are hurting. People are broken. And when it comes to the light, freedom comes. Freedom comes. And so I'm going to have Riley pray over our nation. Let's go ahead. Let's stand together. We can. So Riley's going to lead this out, just praying for our nation.
Dear God, thank you just for the gift of forgiveness and how there's no shame, and it's just freeing to confess your sins to Jesus. And it, the importance of it right now is, it's like more significant than it's ever been. Like this, we're going into dark times, and this is the time, like there's no better time than now to be for Jesus. Yep. And to fight for him. Yep. And to come together for oh my goodness, Jesus is so good. Thank you, Jesus, that we as a nation can come together and stand against the darkness in this world. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
So Jesus, we come humbly, and we come expectant for you to move in our nation, Lord, in the hearts of sons and daughters, lost sons and daughters who don't know. And right now we just speak mercy, we speak freedom, we speak forgiveness, and Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would heal hearts, that you would bring the freedom that only you can bring. And so in us as your people, we want to respond to you. Thank you for the invitation to step into light with you, Jesus. So we plead the blood of Jesus over our nation, over our schools, over government. We plead the blood of Jesus that can cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we speak your light to pierce, to penetrate, to drive out all darkness. What we want to do, we need to stay in this moment, but our students that are here, if you want to come on this side, our students and our counselors, if you could all come up, we're going to have you pray a blessing over people. So if you were one of our students on this side of the altar, we'll have you come up. We're going to partner you. Yeah, all of you students, you are all qualified. Thank you, Lord. They're going to be over here, and they're going to speak blessings over people. Yeah, you guys can go there. Thank you. Let's keep it. Yeah, we can spread that way. Amazing, amazing. Then our ministry team, it's also here. Yeah, if we can just try to spread as much as we can, guys. I know it's kind of hard there. Let's just see. Can we go even a little bit further? We can go that way too, like kind of around the steps there, down the stairs. We'll just pile in. Our ministry team is going to be over here. And so for our students and counselors, can we just spread in between and make sure we're mixed together? So the students, what they're going to do is, if you want just a blessing from the students of what the Lord did, they would love to pray for you. If in hearing this message, hearing the different testimonies, if you're like, wow, I need to bring something to the light, don't go to the students. Thank you. Go to our ministry team. Okay? Thank you. That's what we're going to do. You can come to our ministry team. They'd love to walk you through things. So if you're like, oh my goodness, I am convicted. I was very convicted all week. It was extremely convicting, because what happens is when we do things the Lord's way, there's freedom and blessings. It's really simple. That's what we learned more than anything this week was, hey, this is what the Lord has. These are his ways. Do you want it? It's really easy. So if you want that, like I said, our ministry team would love to walk you through freedom. And what it looked like for some of us is just sitting there and crying for a while. And us saying, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then they would confess and you saw the freedom come. So if you need that, our ministry team would love to do that. If you want a blessing from our students and you just want, like, I'm just coming up for a blessing, please come up and they would love to bless you. Pastor, did you have something you want to share as well?
Before we start to respond, coming forward, I just wanted to, to me, that was just like a huge praise report when I watched on the video of what happened to former President Trump last night. Did you guys see what happened there? And even the word, the tongues and interpretation, it's like God is in control. Was that not amazing to just to see, any of you that saw, that he turned his head just as the shot was fired, and so it hit his ear and saved his life? Was that not absolutely the work of God?
Yeah.
Who's in control? God is in control. When our lives are submitted and committed to him, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, if we could just, as they've already prayed over our nation, I just feel like that God has been in this. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican, he should not have been shot in the head, that's for sure. So God is overseeing, God is watching, we're praying for healing for our nation. Yes. But I'd just like to pray protection over our ex-President Trump. Obviously, he is a target right now. So could we just, as a congregation, pray together for that? Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love, your care, and your protection. Thank you that you do love our country and that you are calling us to repentance, calling us back to you. And we stand together as this church body, calling on your name for protection for President Trump right now. We thank you for the protection that he was prompted by your spirit just to tilt his head, because you are in control. And we just speak protection over him, over his family, and over our nation and all of those that are involved in politics. Your hand in the politics for this nation, in Jesus' mighty name. And together we said, amen.
Amen. With that, once again, the students, they're giving you blessings. That's what they're doing. They want to pray that. Please do not pour out things to them. We'd love that to be to our ministry team. So we just invite you to respond. If you would like a blessing, if you're like, I'm so thankful about the Lord is doing in your life, I want more, they would love to pray for you. And we just encourage you, like, as a family, let's walk in the light together, because that's what Jesus has paid for. So we bless you. Here's our soft close. If you're in here, we just encourage you, just keep the volume down. But be blessed, and we're so excited about what the Lord has. In Jesus' name, amen.